Welcome to the Grow Bold with Disability podcast, brought to you by Feros Care, a podcast dedicated to smashing stereotypes and talking about the things people with disability care about most, to help us live bolder, healthier, better connected lives. I'm journalist Pete Timms.
And I'm Tristan Peters. I work for Disability Service Directory Clickability and am a wheelchair user living with spinal muscular atrophy.
Today's episode of Grow Bold with Disability is Growing Bold in Autism Spectrum Disorder, otherwise known as ASD. And our guest is 19-year-old Chelsea Ann Osborne, who last year represented Australia in sailing at the Special Olympic World Games, where she won the gold medal. And her dad, Pete Osborne, also joins us. And he also appears alongside Chelsea Ann in Feros Care's Season 2 in the Fearless Films series. In this episode, we'll discover why Chelsea Ann always thought she was a little bit different from her friends, but didn't really know why, how her parents told her she had ASD, and how sailing has helped change her life. Chelsea Ann and Pete, welcome to Grow Bold with Disability.
Nice to be here.
Thank you.
So Chelsea Ann, let's start with you. You say in your Fearless film, Golden Sails, that you always knew you had a disability. What was it that made you feel that way?
Well, I knew that I required support in class because I do definitely struggle with learning stuff and picking, like, new skills and that. So I knew that I needed assistance in class. And I also saw a lot of therapists when I was younger. So I kind of just pieced puzzles together. And my parents did tell me that I had a disability. They just didn't say specifically what I had.
So, Pete, let's ask you. So, when did you guys notice there was something a little bit different about Chelsea Ann? And then how did you decide to, you know, broach the topic that she had ASD?
Well, it was pretty much from the get-go. Chelsea Ann had a lot of trouble crawling and, like, way back. Didn't walk for a delayed period, didn't talk for probably till she was about 2.5, maybe 3, and then it was very limited speech. She couldn't pick up spoons and, yeah, had quite a few early set issues. One of the biggest problems, it wasn't until high school that we actually finally got an ASD diagnosis. Up until then, she'd just been partially diagnosed with a whole heap of different things that there wasn't really any clear thing to work on, to work towards. So, yeah, it was very difficult. We just had to work problem after problem after problem to try and give her as much help as we could. So early set, like she was going to speech when she was 4. She was doing OT from 3, I think, 2 or 3. So yeah, there was a lot of early intervention that we put in place just to help kickstart her learning, basically, to do these basic things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, for everyone, ASD manifests itself differently. For you, Chelsea Ann, now, how does it present for you? How does ASD affect you day to day?
ASD predominantly affects me from what I know in my education, so in the classroom and all of that stuff. But it's also in, like, big social groups and that. So I'm still getting a grip on what it actually affects because this is all I've known.
Yeah, fair enough. So, Pete, let's just go back a little bit. So what were the doctors telling you as Chelsea Ann was growing up? What were some of the diagnoses or the misdiagnoses that you were getting?
Well, they weren't really misdiagnoses as such. It was more they hadn't, at that stage, up until the last few years, basically a lot of the professionals were saying that girls don't get ASD.
Wow.
So they were, I can't think of them in any, because they present differently to boys.
Hmm.
So at that stage, it was boys who have ASD present like this, whereas girls show different signs, apparently. And it's been a major learning curve for us. Mm. But, like, yeah, I can't think of – there was just random ones, but I can't think of any of them off the top of my head now.
Fair enough.
But, yeah, they were all partially on the spectrum, but not enough, like, combined, not enough to say that she had ASD.
Yeah. Wow.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it does. Absolutely. And so when you got that official diagnosis, Chelsea, how did it make you feel? Was it everything clicking into place, or was it just carry on as normal? How did it make you feel?
I pretty much just carried on as normal. So, because I've never let my disability define me, so I just carried on as normal.
Fair enough. And Pete, as a parent, how do you explain to your daughter that she has ASD and what it is, and what has it meant for you guys?
Well, with explaining it was probably more just a, you know, just be patient with how you're learning things, and everybody learns at a different speed, and that not every teacher can teach to what each individual person needs. And I don't mean just school, like right across the board, even OTs and that sort of people still have to learn new techniques for different ASD people, because everybody learns just that slight bit different. So we just sat her down, or, you know, over the course of a period, we didn't just sit her down one day and say, bleh, this is it. But, yeah, it was more just, you know, like, oh, did you understand what happened in that class or whatever? No, I didn't. And then we'd try and alter it, what was taught to her. And like, I had trouble at school as well. So I learned differently to the normal mainstream schooling as well. So I'm probably on the ASD, but I'm not going to bother with that. But yeah, so I think laterally, and she thinks laterally. So it wasn't too bad, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I think is important to note, that I'm in a power chair, and that is a very visible disability, whereas ASD is an invisible disability. So, Chelsea, and how do you go about telling people about it? Do you feel the need to tell people about it? Do you ever have any conversations with your friends or anything about it, or is it just you don't feel the need to?
So it very much depends on who. So I don't just go around saying that I have a disability and that, but people that I become pretty good friends with, so a lot of my sailing friends know, and a couple of my friends at uni know, but I feel like I only tell people if I can see that it will help them. So if I can see that they have a kid with a disability or they have a disability, I'll tell them.
Nice.
But I kind of just keep it on the down low, because there is still that stigma in the community about intellectual disabilities and not being able to be like fully functioning people in society. So I do kind of keep it on the down low, but like, I'm not ashamed of it. Like, I do tell people, it's just I pick and choose who I tell.
Yeah. Now, actually, let's just go back to school. You mentioned uni there, but let's go back to high school. So you went to a mainstream school. How did you find mainstream school?
I quite enjoyed mainstream school because it got me in and amongst like a whole group of different people that if like I had gone to a disability school, I wouldn't be able to. The hardest thing is in the town that I live in currently, we only have one disability school, and they only focus on people who are heavily dependent on support. So basically people that require support pretty much 24/7. And will require full-time support for the rest of their life. So we had that option, but at the same time, if we did choose to go down that path, it would have been very difficult to get me into the school. Whereas with the mainstream schooling, I still got the support I required in class to get my Queensland Certificate of Education and get into the university course that I wanted.
Yeah, amazing. Well done.
Yeah. Congratulations. What's the university course? What are you studying?
I'm currently studying a Bachelor's of Sports Exercise Science.
Nice.
Ah, very nice.
Well, let's just talk about sport for a second here. So, Pete, you're not just Chelsea Ann's dad. You're also her sailing manager. And so how did you guys get into sailing? Like, because she's pretty good at it, apparently.
Yeah, she is.
play it down, Dad. Play it down.
Sorry.
Gold medal, hello.
Well, yeah. I mean, my family's has a history of sailing. My father used to sail, and we grew up involved in sailing and water skiing and a whole lot of other water sports. As I say, I've sailed previously on yachts and on dinghies, on small boats, and really enjoyed it. I used to instruct on a couple of the island resorts up in the Whitsundays and that, and teach people how to sail. So it was pretty much a given that, I liked it. And then Chelsea Ann was, I'd say, about 9 and was looking for, we were looking to put her into a sport where she could be included, but we didn't want to go to, say, netball or somewhere like that where she'd be in the team, but she'd probably spend most of the time sitting on the bench being included, but not really being included because her motor skills weren't there and all that sort of thing. So, her cousins from Mackay were sailing in a local regatta here in Townsville, and we went down just to say g'day to them and show Chelsea Ann what they were up to. And, she pretty much got the sailing bug straight off the bat and just went, I'm going to do that. And, she struggled with it at the start, but, she's definitely come better now.
I'd say so.
It's a gold medal speaks for itself. It's brilliant. I mean, Chelsea, when you think back to that first sailing adventure that you had, getting out on the water, how did you feel? What do you like about sailing?
I love the fact that I'm on the water and I'm because I sail one up boat, so I'm basically by myself. And I do get this comparison a lot. It's not as if I'm on a football team where the parents can be yelling on the field. 90% of the time, my dad is like 800 plus meters away from me. So it's just me on the water.
Every teenager's dream. Dad's not yelling at them. I love it. Where did you get the skills from, though? Do you think it's innate in your family, or did you spend much time on the water? Because it's pretty complicated sport for the uninitiated.
Definitely time on water. And I've had some really good coaches throughout the year and just learning from some of the best in Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Pete, Chelsea Ann has won a ton of local, national, international sailing awards. What makes a good sailor and what makes her such a good sailor?
Well, I think one of the defining things that makes her a good sailor is she just absolutely loves it. And she's always happy to be out on the water. Even like back when she was 10, her and her little brother went down and sailed in Victoria, and they came back with blue lips, shivering like little Eskimos, and had an absolute ball. But coming from Townsville straight down into Port Phillip Bay, they were frozen, but they loved it. And I think that's one of the main things is, you know, she's found something that she thoroughly enjoys. So, she just keeps going hard at it and loves it. As I said, she did struggle with the actual learning of it, but I think it was her commitment to loving it that, once we came across Special Olympics, which gave her a lot more specialized training, which definitely helped her. So I'd say to anybody listening that, if you think you can do something and you're not getting the help you need, there's always someone somewhere who can specialize training for you.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. And it's such a good message because also, Chelsea Ann, you're not just a good sailor, you've also become a bit of a mentor for younger kids as well. Tell us about Sailability, the program there, and what you do for all the other kids. It's not even just that. Like, you take kids swimming, taking the girls shopping. You're a bit of a legend.
Yeah, it's really fortunate. I've been able to get employment for support working. So now I'm able to take young girls and teenagers and that to sporting events and helping their coaches out, as well as just taking them to have some girl time. And it's a lot of fun for me because I never really had that at school.
Mm.
But now with the NDIS, they have the ability to have some girl time with a support worker that I'm not much older than most of the girls. With Sailability, it's predominantly just taking people with disabilities out on the water and getting them to experience the water. And yeah, mentoring the kids at the sailing club is so much fun, and I just... I think I get more excited about them finishing races and finishing regattas than they do.
I love it.
Absolutely. It's very, very exciting. And, I mean, that's such a powerful thing that you're supporting people who are experiencing what you're experiencing. What does it mean to them to have that sort of person leading them and showing them what's possible? It must mean the world to them.
I think a lot of the people that I'm with at the moment are seeing it as she's done it so I can do it. Because there is definitely people that say, like, oh, you can't do that because you've got a disability. But I'm coming into these kids' lives and going, you can do it. You just might have to go step A, B, C, D, E, F, G all the way up to Z instead of just going A to Z straight away. You might have to take a couple of more steps to get to the end result.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, Pete, like, Chelsea Ann's become this, you know, great sort of mentor for all these other kids. What would you say to sort of parents out there or even carers of supporting ASD kids? And, you know, what advice would you give them to enable their kids? Because you obviously were a mentor, and so was your wife, Karen, to Chelsea Ann. What do these kids need to live these bold lives?
Well, I'm definitely no professional, but in my thoughts as a parent, like, yeah, one of the best things that we found to do is to find, you know, somebody with a disability is to just keep looking for that one thing that they truly, you know, the person with the disability truly loves and can sink their teeth right into. And, you know, all you can do is just expand their love of that one thing, keeping other things happening as well. But if they get a passion for something, really encourage it and follow it on. You know, if it's a particular sport, then work out a way they can do it more. And just don't give up trying. If they're struggling, just keep trying. And, like, yeah, don't, as Chelsea Ann said, don't use the disability as an excuse not to try something.
Mm.
If you try it, and if it's not for you, well, you're still a winner because at least you've got out and tried something new.
Yeah.
Just give it a go.
Absolutely. It's such a powerful message. And, I mean, Chelsea Ann, you found your passion. You're excelling at sailing. We've mentioned that you're studying sports science. Does the future hold for you? What do you want to accomplish in the next few years?
I'd love to finish my uni degree and do hopefully my honours and masters because I'd really love to work with para athletes is my main goal because some of their stories is just they inspire me and they just seem to be a really good group of people of the ones that I've met so far. And yeah, so that's basically my uni goals, and my sailing ones is just to keep sailing and see where I can get to.
Now, we know you sail laser, you sail the sort of the solo ones. Would there be a Sydney to Hobart on the horizon, do you think? Could you do it with a crew?
I would, but all the crews are down south, so it's a bit logistically hard living in North Queensland to join a crew for a Sydney to Hobart.
They could, I reckon you could organise your own crew.
Far away.
You could organise your own crew from Townsville and you could bring a whole bunch of people down here and do the Sydney to Hobart. What do you reckon?
Maybe in the long future. I don't think I'm quite old enough yet.
Good answer.
It'd be good if we found somebody with a few spare $1 million to fund that dream.
Correct,
Dad's
with the
not
boat.
Fund that.
Pete's just thinking of the money. That's correct. Yeah. Well, the NDIS, let's see what we can do. An NDIS boat, imagine if you won. That would be amazing.
So Pete and Chelsea, you know that our podcast is called Grow Bold with Disability, and we always ask our guests what growing bold means to you. So Pete, let's start with you first. What does growing bold mean for you?
Well, I think it depends on the person because everybody's different. Like for some, it might be just, you know, being bold and tackling those life skills to be able to, you know, learn how to manage money, how to monitor what you're eating and all that sort of just getting on with it. And others, it could be success in sport like Chelsea Ann. But yeah, I think boldness really comes from the conviction to chase after what it is that makes you happy. And personally, like if you can find that, as I said before, that one thing that makes you happy, and you've got the conviction to chase after it, then you're well ahead of the crowd. And, you know, don't be afraid to ask for support, because even Olympic athletes need coaching.
Mm.
So, you know, even the top people in the world still get coaching.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to actually steal one of Chelsea Ann's lines that she always has regularly said is, you never know if you never give it a go. And I think, you know, that's one thing that everybody in life needs to do, is just give stuff a go. Because if you don't try it, you don't know whether you're good at it.
Yeah. Beautiful. Love it. And Chelsea Ann, what about you? What does growing bold mean to you?
I think growing bold is basically just giving everything a go, and not holding anything back. Like, it doesn't matter who you are, just give it a go, and you'll never know if you're good at it if you don't try.
Beautiful message to get out there. Chelsea Ann and Pete, thank you guys so much for joining us here today on Grow Bold with Disability podcast, brought to you by Pharos Care. And we mentioned at the start, Fearless Films Season 2, a co-production between Pharos Care and ScreenWorks, has just been launched with 6 short films. This series shines a spotlight on living boldly with disability. Fearless Films Season 2 is out now, and it's available at pharoscare.com.au/Fearless Films 2. And our listeners can find out more about Chelsea Ann and Pete and all the Fearless Films in the link provided in today's show notes. Guys, that was so much fun. Thank you so much for joining us here on Grow Bold with Disability.
Our pleasure.
This podcast is brought to you by Pharos Care, an NDIS partner delivering local area coordination services in Queensland, South Australia, and the Australian Capital Territory. Pharos Care is a people care organisation committed to helping people live bolder lives. We call it Growing Bold. And for over 30 years, Pharos has been making it real for both older Australians and those living with disability. To find out more, head to pharoscare.com.au.